Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
You can call in with anything that's on your mind, bring up something new, talk about what we're talking about. It doesn't matter because it's Free Talk Live. And that number is 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And this Monday, we had a terrible day. The people on this show did.
It was a rough day for a lot of us.
My husband and the, basically father of this show, he created this show as his brainchild, and he is the most common first chair host, Ian Freeman. He got sentenced to 8 years in prison for selling cryptocurrency to willing customers. Or at least people who vehemently portrayed themselves as willing customers to him.
Oh, yeah. They portrayed themselves as willing customers who wanted Bitcoin. They said, no, I'm not operating under duress.
Yep.
No, I really am not being scammed. This is for my husband, or this is for investments. But no, they lied to Ian so they could get Bitcoin.
So they made him do something he didn't want to do, and because of that, they are now being called his victims. In fact, the judge has decided that at least one of them is a exceptionally vulnerable victim. So
I thought during the trial that it was established that there were no victims. I was under the impression that technically there were no victims.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden at the sentencing, we're talking about victims and we're having these ladies come back again to read their, you know, testimony or whatever, read these, you know, sob stories to the court.
Even when Aria got sentenced, she had the charge of money transmitting, illegal or unlicensed money transmitting.
Yeah.
Maybe not the conspiracy to commit commit money laundering. So maybe it's all resting on that for the question of whether or not there was victims. But when Aria got sentenced, it was said there are no victims. So there's no victims of the unlicensed money transmitting business, but somehow there's victims when it comes to this other charge. And Nikki's right. During the entire trial, I never heard them say that these people were Ian's victims. They would point out that he was doing something that was not illegal to do, except that it was unlicensed. And then on top of that, he was, they were saying that he was conspiring without saying so. So it's a thought crime. He was conspiring without saying so to take the proceeds of somebody that he should have known didn't really want to buy Bitcoin.
He tried his due diligence to make sure that these people were not being scammed. What else is he supposed to do?
Yeah, but
I mean, let's be real here. Ian was doing more than any bank would.
Yep.
Than anyone else would.
And this is according to people who've sat next to him and have worked with him time and time again, hearing him talk to people about Bitcoin.
Take phone calls, yep. Take phone calls from people that ended up coming into the trial saying, Ian Freeman has no soul. I need him to be punished. I need him to suffer for what he has done. And I was so badly hurt by him because he didn't do things correctly after, you know, sometimes like sounding like they're fighting with him on the phone. Like, yes, I know my husband. Why would you ask that? Like, I'm offended.
Yeah, I know, to the audacity to like come testify against him in court.
It's ridiculous. Just because the government, the FBI, the prosecution has promised them, you might be able to get a little bit of money back. The money that was supposed to go to your children and grandchildren. Or the money that your mother gave you when she died, or the money that your husband gave you when he died. Well, you might get a little bit of that money you sent away because you thought you fell in love with someone online, and then you wouldn't listen to Ian, the voice of reason, about it, and you tricked him. So because of that, now you might get some of that money back. So why don't you just go up there and say Ian has no soul and he is the worst type of person, this is the worst type of crime.
They probably won't get any money back either, honestly. Right. I really don't think they will, and I think that's a really sad part of it. And Ian even said when he was making his, you know, closing statements, you know, if I would rather this go to, like, actual restitution instead of paying a fine to the government.
Yep, and we know that the judge already ruled that the fine, there's three separate money grabs here. One of them is a fine.
$40,000.
$40,000 is what that got.
Is that the fine? I thought that was...
That's the fine, which is going to be the smallest number. So the fine is $40,000. Plus $700, somebody had said. I
somehow
didn't catch that. I
thought the $700 was the fine, and then the $40,000 was going towards.
I don't understand what the $700 was.
Victims.
But the,
probably like, oh, this is your processing fee. Yeah, or whatever.
It's something stupid like that. But the restitution hasn't been decided yet. There's going to be another date in court, and I asked his lawyer today, or at least his lawyer's secretary today, if there was a date for that yet, but there isn't a date for that yet. But yeah, then the restitution will be decided. And there's one other money grab. I can't remember what the heck it is. But today, I wanted to read to the listeners Ian's written allocution, his statement that he got to, like, what, any last words, anything you have to say for yourself type of thing before the judge on the day of sentencing on October 3rd or 2nd. He had it written up, so I went ahead and posted it to Free Keen under his name. And I just want to get right into reading it to you guys.
Before you read that, I thought this was an epic speech, and I'm sure that, you know, most people would agree. This is a really good speech.
Yeah, it was, like, really, it was really touching. Like, it was, you know, when I was talking to Aria, I kind of, like, tried to give her a play-by-play on kind of what happened. And Bonnie, your speech as well was really good. I actually started crying during your speech.
Yeah, it was, it was a good speech, definitely.
Both of them was, I thought that was, like, I don't think it could have been better. And I think they were both, like, just really, really well-spoken. And I think it had to have at least affected the judge's decision a little bit.
I hope so. It had to have. But one thing I do want to mention is that the judge, before Ian gave his speech, he's like, don't put on a performance now, as though Ian is the type. I mean, Bonnie, you know Ian pretty well, I imagine. Yeah. Is he the type to put on a performance?
No, Ian's the weirdest Leo. he doesn't like to be just the center of attention. He, like anyone, likes praise for things that he's done well, but not overly so. Like, I was just talking to Captain about this right before the show started. Anytime someone calls in and they're like, oh my gosh, your show changed my life, I love your show so much, thank you so much for your work, he usually tries to sweep that aside so that way he can be like, okay, thank you. So do you have anything you want to talk about? He doesn't want to dwell on it. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He never wants, like, overly big amounts of praise is what I'm trying to say. He doesn't really, like, need attention. He turns this camera off that is on me right now. I like it on me because the other, view is just like, I don't know, I look like a little shrimp. I don't like sitting in this, chair, the big camera view that I get.
Yeah, the angle.
So I always put the camera on me so people can know what I look like. Ian always keeps that one off, and it's not because he thinks he's ugly. Mark used to say that he thinks it's because Ian thinks he's ugly, so I asked him, I was like, Ian, you don't think you're ugly, do you? You're so handsome. And he was just like, no, I don't think I'm ugly. Why would Mark say that? Mark doesn't always talk to him about it. He's just a mean old man. That's what he always says.
I love Ian and Mark. They just love to argue so much on air. It's entertaining. But it they seem to love each other somehow.
Entertaining, yeah. And by the way, this doesn't have to be just me reading for the record or anything. If you guys want to stop me and you have something to say about it, go ahead, because this took 20 minutes to read. But I just want to read. I don't know. Yeah, it's up to me. I'm in the first year, so I think I'm going to read the entire thing.
Because yeah, do it.
Plenty of people that don't go on the internet that listen to Free Talk Live or just don't know where to find us online, and that they're going to want to hear this. So
before Bonnie reads Ian's speech, if you think that Ian is actually a scammer, call us at 603-283-6160. We really want to hear your reasons why.
Or just anything you want to say. I don't mind taking a break from reading this and talking about whatever is on your mind, because that's what Free Talk Live is for. So I posted this to freekeen.com. It's the second most recent thing up there. So that's where you can find this. It's just called Crypto Six Sentencing Statement. It's under Ian's name. And I'm just going to start from the actual statement. It says, I appreciate the opportunity to speak here today. I hope you can appreciate that I'm in a bit of an awkward position. Normally, apologies and acceptance of responsibility are expected from a defendant at a sentencing hearing. I have been convicted on all 8 counts I faced in trial by a jury of 12 other human beings. Since that time, the court has thankfully overturned my wrongful conviction on the money laundering count. We are going to be appealing the remaining 7 convictions on the basis that the prosecution never proved a single one of them. So, I can't apologize for those things, as I do not believe I broke the law. Regardless, the jury found me guilty despite the defects in the prosecutor's case, so there is something in their opinion to be acknowledged. I don't know if they didn't like me or if they didn't believe me, but they thought I deserved to be found guilty, and I have to accept that there was some reason they did that, whether I like it or not. There is something I do want to apologize for, however, and that is that I failed to detect and prevent 100% of scam victims from using my services. For that, I am sorry. To the extent that my screening and Know Your Customer procedures failed to alert me and the victims to what was happening to them, I take full responsibility for my failure and would like to request the court direct any fine toward the scammer's victims instead of the government. In their recent sentencing memorandum, the prosecution accused me of never having a real job. The truth is, I've worked several years at Kmart and several years at multiple radio stations, including several working for Clear Channel Communications, now known as iHeartRadio. That is where I began my now nationally syndicated talk radio program in 2002 that they insultingly call a hobby, simply because its revenue is down from its previous heights. They act as though I could be heard on over 170 radio stations nationwide without any history in the industry or having ever lifted a finger.
Well, they obviously don't know that Ian has a lot of technical skills with radio. I mean, he's put the show together, and it's hard to keep the show going without him because we don't have all the technical skills he has.
Not just that, but just everything he does every single day. I am now taking care of all of that, and I don't even know how he did all of these things every day. Like, I haven't even really started yet. I've just started, like, taking care of easy things, giving myself a break for being, like, you know, still in shock that my husband could be gone for 8 years. Probably won't be all 8, but I don't even know how it's possible. Like, Ian, I read this in Peace. What is it called? I can't remember her name right now. This woman who walked across the United States in, I think, the 70s or 80s, and Peace Pilgrim. She wrote a book and talked about why she walked across the United States spreading peace, and she said, whenever you invite peace into your mind and you truly are getting peace from, like, the divine source, you have this never-ending energy, and you get things done that people just can't even understand how you get everything done, because it's just a passion, and you have this sense of peace about you. I don't know how else to explain it, but that's Ian. That describes Ian so much to me. Like, I don't know where he has these fountains of energy. And it's not just because he's a man. Like, I feel like, you know, maybe men have more energy than women. I don't know if that's true, but it seems like that a lot of the times.
I don't know. Nowadays, you might be called sexist for saying that.
Yeah, probably, whatever.
But he gets more things done than anyone else I know. And just because it's stuff that the government doesn't want getting done, like activism, doesn't mean that he's not extremely productive every single day.
I mean, I think a lot of that is due to clarity of mind.
Hmm.
I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of, like, garbage clouding their mind. And
yeah,
it seems like Ian is a person that has a lot of clarity. Like, he does have a lot of, like, just, like, inner peace and, like, calmness within him.
That is such a good way to put it, and I totally agree about that with Ian. I think when somebody is unified in their consciousness, like, what they think and what they feel is the way they act, and they won't change that for anyone, it definitely Sorry, I was getting a phone call. I haven't had my phone on silent because Ian could call me at any moment. But anyways, yeah, so Ian has a lot of energy and he does a lot of stuff, and the government insultingly called the radio show that we're doing tonight a hobby and acted like he doesn't work, and it's really stupid. They just say whatever they can to make people look bad when they're prosecuting them.
Yeah, they probably know it's all lies, too. Like,
yeah.
They know how much it takes to, you know, like, do this show, and they know it's more than a hobby, but they will spread whatever lies they have to, you know, to win.
Yep, and somebody put it perfectly. I think it was on this freaking blog. Comments. Somebody said prosecution. Oh, no, I think it was in the it was in the Keen chat. Anyways, somebody said prosecutors are rewarded for convictions, not for justice.
Oh, yeah.
They aren't rewarded for doing the best they can do. Nope, they're rewarded for how many people they can get found guilty, whether no matter the cost. So, going back to Ian's statement, he says they, the prosecution, obviously know nothing about entrepreneurship and the countless hours I have invested in building and maintaining the studio, calling radio stations to get them to carry our show, running our website and online presence, and then actually performing the show 3 hours a night, several days every week, which I have done for 2 decades of my life. Yeah, government. Okay, that's back to me talking. Government workers don't know what entrepreneurship is like at all because they've never had to actually succeed in anything. They just get handed jobs and they get paid no matter how good or how well they do. So, it's a good way to put it, Ian. So, going back to his statement, it says, "My show is my life's work, and it's completely unnecessary to their case to belittle it. We have been honored by Talkers Magazine, the top industry publication, with inclusion into their Heavy 100 for over a decade. It's a list of the most influential talk shows in America. This year we ranked at number 25. Talkers also awarded me with their coveted Freedom of Speech Award in 2022, an annual award that has gone to approximately 30 talk show hosts in the last few decades, including Rush Limbaugh. They have also insulted my religion and my church simply because they don't understand it or they pretend not to. While we don't utilize a traditional religious meeting space, we did provide one free of charge to the local Muslim community, as our witness Muhammad Ali testified. This is because the Shire Free Church, like the Unitarian Universalists, is an interfaith church. Our ministers in Keene conduct their ministry via broadcast media, as many television and radio churches have done for decades. Our church has donated to multiple charities, including the 100 Nights Homeless Shelter, and I just want to make this clear, Liberty in North Korea, that's an organization. And we're instrumental in building an orphanage in Uganda. I just didn't want it to sound like, well, we give money for there to be liberty in North Korea. It kind of sounds like a statement more than an organization or something. I used to give money to that 2016, just like what little I could give, because they're so great. And sorry, I'm this back to Bonnie talking. Liberty North Korea, they help people who have snuck out get from North Korea through China to South Korea or somewhere else to get, because once you're out of North Korea and you're in China, you're still not safe. They're very bad to those people as well. Anyways, I just wanted to bring that up because I just remember when Ian read it, they've donated to multiple charities. I guess it does say charities, but since Liberty in North Korea comes last, I don't know, just kind of, I was afraid people who didn't know what that was, it just sounded like it was like some other activism. Okay. And the Shire Free Church was instrumental in building an orphanage in Uganda. Multiple local business owners testified under oath and via written letter that I provided all my cryptocurrency consulting services to them free of charge. And this was also a part of my church mission. Despite the prosecutor's claims that I'm the only minister, we have actually multiple, and they have presided over multiple weddings, including the very witness that they had falsely testify that the church isn't real. Despite the prosecutor's claim that the church only existed to confuse banks. The Shire Free Church was founded a year prior to my inspiration to launch our first vending machine in Keene and 3 years before my first local Bitcoin sale. And I just want to touch on the witness that falsely testified that the church isn't real. I don't see how it's possible that that's not perjury. Not that she'll ever get prosecuted because she was a prosecution's witness instead of the defense's witness, but when you're on a show that every single night you hear a commercial that explains what the Shire Free Church is, and Ian talks about it openly on the show, and Ian talks about...
Are you referring to Melanie now?
Yeah, Melanie. Melanie was on the show.
She was clearly lying about that.
Yeah, but the judge wouldn't know, but we all know that. We all know that Melanie's lying.
We definitely know. I mean, she was on the show quite a while. I remember that she actually, her current husband actually proposed to her on this show.
On the show?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was on the show. It's kind of funny, but Mark Edge, who was here on Monday, he presided over their wedding. He was, like, she asked him to do their wedding. It's not like she was just like, you're a random person.
Yeah.
Will you officiate our wedding? She knew that he was a minister under the Shire Free Church. And whenever Mark Sisti, Ian's lawyer, asked her, well, why'd you do that then? Her answer was, she went, for a long time. And then she said, he told me he was a Quaker. Because he is a Quaker.
It's a multi-denominational faith.
Exactly.
Or whatever. You
interfaith.
Know,
but yeah. The
yeah, same. Interfaith. Yes, exactly.
Great way to put it to you. But yeah, he's not like, he didn't do a Quaker wedding. Those are a specific thing, one. And two, he doesn't have some kind of like paperwork from the Quakers. He didn't go to the Quakers to become someone who can officiate a wedding. It's under his authority of the Shire Free Church. And she knew that. In fact, if we can find a video... I bet that it's mentioned at her wedding, but I never really thought to look into that. Anyways, I just wanted to put that out there because Ian doesn't like to, you know, be mean and, you know, like stick it to people, but I kind of do in this instance. So continuing, he says, however, the most insulting part about the case against me is the idea that I was conspiring with fraudsters to assist them in their evil deeds. The prosecutor's case attempted to have it both ways. On the one hand, they said advertising that I respected privacy was an invitation to criminals. But then they showed some of the detailed requirements I put buyers through to verify their identities and alert them to what they were buying and how. What they did not show the jury was my list of questions I had developed to ask people prior to selling them Bitcoin. The questions specifically identified different types of scams and required the buyer to confirm they were not being victimized. It's worth pointing out, let's continue this whenever we come back. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Call in with whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. Keep listening.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Former President Trump left New York City after attending his civil fraud trial for the third consecutive day.
Former president, the leading candidate, the leading Joe Biden by a lot, which is probably why this is all happening. Not probably, this is what
definitely. They're coordinating with Washington 100%.
New York Attorney General Letitia James has leveled allegations against Trump, claiming he exaggerated his net worth. The number of striking workers in the U.S. is growing. 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers walked off the job today in multiple states in what is gearing up to be the largest health care strike in U.S. history. In the meantime, the UAW strike is now on its 20th day, and the Hollywood actor strike continues to drag on. Saturday Night Live will return next week. NBC's sketch show will start its 49th season on October 14th after the Hollywood writer strike ended last week. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Control 603-283-6160. That number is 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. With you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And so far tonight, we've been talking about Ian Freeman's sentencing date that happened this Monday. He is sentenced to 8 years in prison for selling Bitcoin to people who claim to want to buy Bitcoin from him. In a way to, you know, sum it all up. Tax evasion, 4 counts. Absolutely ludicrous that those went through, considering the level you have to be at to be proven that you evaded taxes isn't just, oh, if you feel jurors like he should pay taxes, then convict him. It's very high, actually. I can't remember what the wording is I'm trying to say, but it's a high burden on the prosecution to prove. And it is, there's like no doubt that Ian had to pay taxes, one, and knew he had to pay taxes, two. Even though the IRS agent who testified said to Mark Sisti, Ian's lawyer, that it's 100% possible that he may owe nothing. That should be open and shut. Like, there's no way that you should. I mean, the jury basically can do whatever they want, but
plus, from what I remember hearing Ian say, is he never got any notification from the IRS.
Yep, he never did. But before we get back into the statement, I'm reading the allocution, which is the statement that a defendant gets to give to the judge right before sentencing. The very last thing that happens before the judge hands out his sentence. I'm reading what Ian got to say because they don't allow cameras in the courtroom. It was very touching. Everybody that's talked about it absolutely loved his statement. It clears so many things up. If Ian just went up there and read this during trial, not saying it's Ian or Sisti's fault, I'm just saying I think that he would have had better chances at not getting 8 convictions. But before we get back into it, I want to go to your phone calls and thoughts because it's a call-in talk radio show and freedom of speech and all that. So I'm going to go to Gigi in South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking my call tonight. I am so appreciative that you just made mention of the phrase freedom of speech. We pride ourselves on being a republic, a so-called democracy. And when I think about what I learned as a child in social studies and then in civics in high school, that Benjamin Franklin, one of our founders, established the first public open library in Philadelphia in the 18th century. No book banning. And look what's happening in my home state of Florida. Books being banned. And here in Charleston, South Carolina, where I currently reside, various public libraries are having the same policies. I was under the impression that freedom of speech and freedom of the press are guaranteed to a certain extent in our civil liberties.
I thought so too.
Why are books being banned? It's very frightening. Everybody who's listening to this wonderful program, however infrequently you listen, please be aware more and more of your civil liberties are being infringed upon. It is frightful.
Yes, it's really annoying that when something is called public, normally you would think that that means everybody owns it. Anybody who writes a book should be able to have their book in a public library. It belongs to all of us.
Good point, my dear. Good point.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. You are so on target.
But it usually means the opposite. Public just means belongs to the government, and they'll do whatever they want with it.
And it's very frightening, is it not?
It is. It's bad. It's not how things
yes,
are supposed
ma'am.
To be.
Well,
that was my contribution for this evening. I love this program.
Thank you so much, Gigi, for your call. We really appreciate it. We always like hearing from her. Riley, did you have something you
want
to say?
Yeah, I do want to say something about banning books. You know, it seems like I've read a lot of dystopian novels from Fahrenheit 451 to George Orwell's 1984 and Animal Farm, and it just seems like, you know, we're starting to live more and more in a dystopian world where people ban books and burn things and censor people and send things down memory holes, and I'm starting to wonder, what in the world is going on in our society?
There have been so many times where I'm just, you know, existing in this world, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that literally happened in insert dystopian novel here. Like,
right.
Oh, that, you know, that happened in 1984.
Right.
It's just like, it's scary because...
Our Demolition Man. Pretty commonly.
Yeah. Like 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was like, these were dystopian novels. Like, these were like, okay, this would never happen.
Right.
Like, this would
never
crazy.
Happen in our world.
Yeah,
not our country.
Things.
Our free country,
yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah.
Well, it is, so.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, Gigi, for the call. Now, moving on, we're going to Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ricky, what's on your mind?
Thank you there, Miss Bonnie, Brother Riley, Sister Nikki. Good evening. Well, you know, I didn't know if I was going to talk about this, but, you know, I heard what happened to Brother Ian. I guess they weren't listening to what I said his sentence would be. But I've done a lot of things over the years that people don't know on there. In 2017, I became real. I was named most unique personality at the internet a decade on Skype, the same as the cam girl Twitch. You know, I was running for office. I mean, there's even a character in Fallout 3 that's based on me that was covered on the show.
I didn't know that.
I'll talk about it in next week, Miss Bonnie.
Okay, I just hadn't heard that.
What's more important? There's sense to it. Anyways, what's important, though, and yeah, I got bitch slapped in 18. It's called Ricky from the Commonwealth Don't Run for Office. But the saddest part is the story that I didn't know if I was going to tell, but I'm going to tell. See, it did come out in the air. I never did say about my vision problems, but then Brother Ian leaked it out, and it's all right. Yeah, I went blind 3 years ago. But see, in 17, something wonderful happened. I was on the list for years for stem cells. Now, they made a guy exactly like me at the time. My vision was 2400. I had tunnel vision, you know, everything. All the characteristics of RP, he was the same now. This was years before. He got stem cells, and that man was perfect.
Oh.
More perfect probably than the people, except for yourself, of course, Brother Ryan. But in that
just like
room.
People who weren't born blind, they can have stem cells.
Yeah,
restore their
yeah,
sight.
And it works. It does work. Oh. It's guaranteed. It does work. But here's the sad part. Now, I got a phone call in my apartment. I got a phone call around July. This is right after. I was named most unique personality hit the internet in a decade. Now, the woman was from Massachusetts, Boston, research facility. Here, my number went up. And, you know, she told me how it works, what I got to pay for to get down there, blah, blah, blah. Now, the only hitch was I had Reye syndrome when I was a kid, a very rare disease. And at that time, they weren't sure if it was aspirin or penicillin. That would be a highly allergic thing. So I had to get tested for penicillin. Now I did. And, they even told me they're all, you're good. Well, I got the lab results. I got them to her. And the funny thing is I'm now not able to get hold of her. Not able to go, I'm trying. And finally, the phone picks up. I don't know, maybe she didn't mean to pick it up. And I said, did you get the results? It's good. You know, or I'm ready to go and all this. I said, well, you know what? I wouldn't have mentioned that.
Huh?
She says to me, well, here's the sad part. She says to me, you're not a candidate. I thought I was a perfect candidate before what happened. She said, well, you know, she said, well, you know, it's the man that put forth the money. You know, for our research. And I told her right out, I said, it's because I'm Ricky from the Commonwealth, isn't it?
Wow, that was.
And it all of a sudden got silent. And I remember I said this one. I asked her, I said, is he a Republican or a Democrat? She says, well, I don't know. You know. And she said, I don't know if I can answer. I said, it doesn't matter.
Well, so is this like a. Wait, Ricky, I have a question. Is this a. Like a public hospital? Are you using any kind of public funds?
No. So the stem cells is still considered experimental. It's not approved by anything. And the sad thing is now I'm at the state. It's a weird situation. I'm blind but not detached. Now, what that means is CRP means, recognized paper tells you your cables, your stems, your cells are breaking throughout time. That's where the blindness is progressive. So now think about it this way, the left and the right up. You know, you have, say, instead of millions, we'll say 108. I may have actually less than 10. So I'm actually what they call blind but not detached. I wouldn't be an applicant.
Okay.
At all now for stem cells.
Oh,
you know, and
so back then you might have been?
I don't know what was to be gained out of it, you know, and I know that was the reason why. I mean, and it's very sad. It's because of the things I talk about on that show. And, you know, here I am this year after 5 years come back.
Okay, right.
I haven't learned
Ricky,
yet.
Thank you for your call. I mean, that's a. kind of an interesting story about possibly being a victim of cancel culture.
Yeah, interesting story.
Who knows? Like, I don't have the answer for him. I didn't really get all the details I wanted to get out of him about it. So I can't make a decision one way or the other, but cancel culture is just so bad. Like, imagine you have the, imagine everything he said is exactly the way it was, that this person had the ability to at least give someone the chance to regain their vision, but he didn't because he's, you know,
a certain personality somewhere.
Yeah.
Or just his political opinions. I mean, that's pretty terrible. But I bet it would be something that he wouldn't have to deal with if the government didn't regulate healthcare things. Like he said, it's still an experimental thing. So
yeah.
If just anybody could get their hands in this business, which I doubt you can, just get your hands in the stem cell giving people business, I bet that there'd be someone out there that wouldn't mind serving Ricky from the Commonwealth. And that's a pretty sad story.
Yeah.
But moving on. In the last segment, I started reading Ian's statement to the judge, his allocution to the judge. And we covered some of the things that he said were insulting about the prosecution's case against him. But he said the most insulting part of the entire case against him was the idea that he was conspiring with fraudsters to assist them in their evil deeds. And he talked about how the prosecution didn't show the jury his list of questions he had developed to ask people prior to selling them Bitcoin, and that the questions specifically identified different types of scams, and he alerted them to those, and he asked them if they were to confirm that they were not being victimized. But going on, he says, "It's worth pointing out that my procedure was more in-depth than any of the banks who also sent away the scam victims' life savings, yet the bank tellers and managers were not arrested. Unfortunately, it took me some time to develop these procedures as I learned slowly of the different types of scams. There was no how-to manual to read when I started this, and initially I was the direct target of the scammers, who used my bank info to pay credit card bills or car payments. Since the banks never told me why they were closing my accounts, it kept me in the dark much longer about what was happening to a small percentage of my buyers. The prosecution suggested during trial that the only reason I had identification procedures in place was to protect my bank accounts. While that is one reason, it's not the only reason. The other reason is because I don't want people to be taken advantage of. As a libertarian voluntarist, I am firmly against fraud and never want to be a part of it. Indeed, my perfect seller ratings on localbitcoins.com were proof of my reputation for honesty. Eventually, my mission expanded beyond spreading Bitcoin to include to never let a scammer get through my screening. Sadly, no matter how strict I became or how many hoops I put in place for buyers to jump, I could not catch them all, as I learned with the case of Patrick Brown, who testified at the trial. Mr. Brown said under oath that I only asked him one question when we talked on the phone prior to selling him Bitcoin. However, by that time I had developed the series of questions I mentioned earlier, which included asking him if there was a third party putting him up to this, and if he was under duress. He assured me he was buying the bitcoins for investment purposes on his own volition. So I sold it to him, and then he came back for a few more buys. I thought he was a satisfied repeat customer until his bank tried to pull one of his wires from my account. I reached out to Patrick, whose number I still have on my phone, to try to find out what happened, and eventually heard from Detective Alan Snoddy from Travis County Sheriff's. I spent a half hour on the phone with Detective Snoddy and provided any information I could to help him with his investigation, and Detective Snoddy explained to me what had happened to Mr. Brown. That's when I learned that he was under duress, as the scammers were threatening him and pretending to be federal government agents. It was in my conversation with Detective Snoddy that I learned Patrick Brown lied to me to get me to sell him Bitcoin. And I just want to pause for a second from reading this and explain. He was under duress, in Ian's opinion, because he believed that he had to do what the FBI was telling, or not the FBI, sorry, the IRS was telling him to do over an email. He wasn't under duress, as in there was somebody holding a gun to his head. And I used to talk to Ian about this and say, like, Ian, they weren't under duress. Like, I don't think that that word applies here. And he would say, yes, they were. It's the scariest government agency, I mean, the scariest government in the world threatening to harm you. And they will do it. They'll harm people. They do it every day. And they don't care about you. So in Ian's opinion, these people were under duress. It doesn't matter that there wasn't somebody in the room with them holding a knife to their throat.
And I kind of agree with, you know, Ian's version of that word, or like his definition of that word in this case, because, it doesn't even have to be like as serious as like someone legit has a gun to your head. You can still be under duress for any number of reasons.
Sure. And it can be kind of scary to have an institution that, you know, has the ability to lock you in a cage if you don't pay your taxes. It can feel scary to be emailing back and forth with that. With what you believe is that organization, because your life could change overnight.
I just wanted to point that out because I wanted to explain the charity Ian gives to these people. Like, he isn't just mad at them. He can see things through other people's perspective. He doesn't just hate these people for getting him into this situation, even though they kind of did, in my opinion. So, going on. The other witnesses in the case I had no idea were victims of scams, and I didn't find out they had been victimized until I saw their names and stories in the discovery for this case. Carla Sino had purchased many times from me over longer than a year. She represented herself to me as a successful real estate agent who is buying for herself and eventually selling to others. I didn't know until the trial that she had been working with a scammer for half a decade and was herself acting as a money transmitter for the scammer. She kept those details from me. The same was true about Nancy Treestrom. She revealed at trial she was actually working with her scammer and moved money at his behest while keeping me in the dark. Daniela Varell was a sophisticated financial advisor by trade, but even she was fooled by a scammer. What I learned was the scammers are so persuasive, they will get their victims to lie to do anything necessary to get through my requirements. It didn't matter how strict I was or how many questions I asked. I was also the victim of scammers who had their victims lie to get through my security, putting me unknowingly in the position of taking the fall for their crimes. One more example of the dishonesty of the victims in this case came to light since the previous sentencing hearing where Karen Miller read her letter to the court. In it, she admitted having bought Bitcoin from me with other people's money that the scammer had his victim send to Karen. Karen never told me this. Like Patrick Brown, I still have her cell phone number in my phone, and I had spoken to her more than once to make sure she was a consenting buyer, as she purchased from me multiple times. She appeared to be a wealthy businesswoman, buying Bitcoin for investment and business purposes. I met Karen through Rebecca Vyar, who I considered to be a good customer. Karen Miller assured me in my first phone call with her that she knew Rebecca Vyar personally. This turned out to be a lie. Thanks to the most recent letter filed by the prosecution from Pam Hamilton Campbell, we know Karen Miller was willing to sell or tell lies to get what she and the scammer wanted from me and others. In her letter, Pam Campbell stated Karen Miller, quote, posed on the phone to me as the scammer's sister. She and I spoke on the phone several times. She assured me that as his sister, she was also sending him money to help him out of his situation. I would have never sent him the money, $753,251, out of the kindness of my heart, had she not compelled me using the unconscionable methods via emotional blackmail perpetrated to commit this crime, unquote. And that is a bombshell. This woman, Karen Miller, who came to the sentencing hearing, Riley, Nikki, and I witnessed, the first woman that walked up, the stout one, she read her letter saying how she's a victim of Ian, how Ian has a black soul or whatever, yeah, and he's the terrible person. She didn't mention that she emotionally blackmailed another person who ended up a victim of the same man that she was working with. Whether she's under duress or not, she is doing things far worse than accusing Ian of doing.
Oh, absolutely. And Ian never did anything like that. Yep. Ian just provided her with a service, you know, and she lied to him to get his services, and then essentially, you know, like, is manipulating other people.
Other old women. It's ridiculous.
And that's just fine because she's a victim.
Because she's old. Younger than, like, all the lawyers in the room, but still old. Not all of them, but she was younger than Sissy, and he pointed that out. Because it's kind of hilarious. It's a little insulting to be like, well, as soon as you turn 60, you're just too old to control yourself.
Who was it? Oh, I can't remember who said this, but somebody, when we were all outside the courtroom just chatting, someone was like, you know, I'm, you know, X years old. I have Bitcoin. I'm not, you know, like, elderly and naive and stupid and, you know.
Yes,
so
exactly.
It is. It's offensive to a lot of... I know a lot of people in their 70s
that
have Bitcoin. It's
offensive to elderly people to claim them to be naive, because I'm sure a lot of them are not naive.
And
also, like, 25-year-olds can get scammed. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. I mean, so, if it's just the love is blind thing, I did it because I was in love, like, anyone could do that. That could happen to anyone. In another witness that, I'm just speaking still, this isn't Ian's statement. A witness that testified for Ian for the defense, her name is Dale. She's a good friend of ours. I see her at least like once a month at crypto meetups. She was 75 years old at the time of testifying, and she said this to the jury and everything. She became interested in crypto by herself, by learning about it on the internet. She's like an avid reader. She is very interested in being as free as possible, even though I don't really know why she stays in Massachusetts, but that's neither here nor there. And she's a really good person, and she's so interesting to talk to. And she's 75 years old, retired Spanish teacher. She found Ian's cryptocurrency meetup through a friend. She went to his cryptocurrency meetups. She, I'm not sure if she ever actually bought crypto from Ian, but she had crypto herself. She had Ian help her with things. He never asked her to pay him a cent. And she's 75 years old and interested in Bitcoin. So the jury knew that at least, you know, some old people out there are interested in that stuff. So it's not unimaginable. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.